back at 91.5 FM at 5 o'clock in the evening. And so we catch the people on their way to work. We catch people on their way home from work. We catch people who don't have to go to work or can listen in their office. We are thankful for you wherever you may listen. And if you want to listen and you're out of the area, you can download the TuneIn app to your laptop, your computer, your smartphone, and you can listen to it that way. You can also listen on WMIEFM.com. Scroll down to the Listen on Demand feature, click that on, and you can get the broadcast that way. And we have a number of people that that do that in other parts of the country, and for that we are very, very thankful. Today we want to remind you this coming Sunday is going to be Resurrection Sunday. Hope you are making plans to be at church for that day. And our sermon that we're preaching is called Raised Up. Raised Up. We're going to be talking about some of the benefits and ramifications of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in our life, and would love for you to be a part of what God is doing. 10:30 Sunday morning. No Sunday night service that week, but want to invite you out to that. Also, Friday night at 7 o'clock, I'm going to be inviting people to come for a night of honor prayer meeting. That will be Friday night in our sanctuary. Night of honor, 7 p.m. We'll pray for a few hours and have a great time. I'll explain more about that let me see if I can find the passage real quick here. When God was telling the people about what he was going to do, let me see if I can find the verse real quick. Verse number 40 of Exodus chapter 12. Now the sojourn of the children of Israel who lived in Egypt was 430 years, and it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, on that very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night of solemn observance to the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is the night of the Lord, a solemn observance for all the children of Israel throughout their generations. And so, We're thankful for what God has done for us. And so if you care to join us Friday night at 7 o'clock, we're going to have a night of honor. And there's not going to be any preaching or anything like that. It's just going to be a night where we come and honor the Lord by spending some time with him in prayer and praise and worship. So that's what our schedule looks like this week. We're going to take you back to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, we're talking about diligently seeking wisdom. Diligently seeking wisdom. We're going to begin reading in verse number 12, and we'll read down to verse number 21 today. It says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. Let me read one more verse from Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. As I shared with you yesterday, wisdom is spiritual. Wisdom is spiritual. There's a wisdom that the world has, but it does not rise to the same level as the wisdom that God makes available to his children. The wisdom of God is eternal. The wisdom of God is righteous. It's excellent. It is right. It is true. The wisdom of the world may seem right, but it will eventually manifest flaws in it. And so we want to diligently seek the wisdom of God, and that begins with the fear of the Lord. So we've got to start off at the right point. So what else does wisdom look like? Well, in verse number 13, it says, "The fear of the Lord," which we just read in Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 10, "is the beginning of wisdom." The fear of the Lord, or the beginning of wisdom, is to hate evil. Is to hate evil. That means we abhor it. It is something we detest. And I will tell you that this attitude, if you will, towards evil or things that are not morally upright, things that are displeasing to God and damaging to humanity, and originate from a compromised spirit rather than a sound spirit, a sound relationship with God, that's got to begin with us. Okay, a lot of people want to start with hating evil in other people. It's got to start with us. Don't talk about how much you abhor evil in other people when you have not dealt with the evil that dwells inside of you. You know, Paul to the Romans was writing, you know, "The things that I hate, those are the very things that I do." He said, I look at it, I see it in another person, and I don't realize that same practice is going on inside of me. You want to see a couple of people who want to really be miserable, you take two people who are just alike and you put them in a room and watch how long it takes for them to get irritated with the other person. I know people who are very opinionated, very strong-willed, and very outspoken about their opinions, and guess what type of person they have a real problem being around? They have a real problem being around people who are very opinionated, strong-willed, and outspoken. They say, man, they just love to argue, and they don't realize how much they themselves love to argue. Here's a confession for you. I hate to argue. I hate it. It doesn't mean that I can't do it. It doesn't mean that I don't on occasion do it, but I don't really enjoy it at all. There are some people, and in fact, one time I asked my congregation, I said, how many of you all enjoy fighting with your spouse? And I remember this one person in particular, and it's like, sometimes I like it. And it was like, well, at least it's an honest answer. We have got to develop the mindset of not wanting to have anything to do with evil or wickedness. There is a place in the Bible is called Bethaven. It means the house of wickedness. I don't want wickedness in my house. I don't. There are telemarketers that call my house and they say, you know, if you sign up for our television package, you're going to get this package for free and this package for free and this package for free. And I say, I'm not interested. And they said, well, why aren't you interested when all of that is going to be free? And I said, because I know that there are things that come on those stations that I don't want to support. They are evil. And I told that to a sales lady one time, and she said, I had a feeling you were going to say that. I don't want that stuff in my house. I don't want it in my life. There's always a price for wickedness and evil and sin that is more than what I'm willing to pay. So I encourage you, if you want to see your life move in a godly trajectory, pursue wisdom with a mindset that you are going to abhor anything that is displeasing in God's sight. So what kind of things are mentioned here? It mentions several things. It says, first of all, it talks about pride. It talks about pride. In fact, it talks about pride and arrogance. Just in case you thought that God was kidding about it. In fact, if you go over just a couple of chapters to the left in Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 16, it says, these six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. So there is a list there of things, and the very first thing that is mentioned is a proud look. One of the attributes that Satan began to manifest that resulted in him being removed from heaven was his pride. I will be like the Most High. I will ascend. There are five I will statements that he makes there in the context of the passage makes it very clear that it is dealing with Satan there, and it has to do with pride. Okay, pride is extremely deceptive. The Bible says that we're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. We're supposed to esteem others better than ourselves. I've got a friend, and every time I am around this friend, I feel like I'm at a fountain of wisdom, because there are profound things that come out of his mouth. And so I like being around him for a lot of reasons, but one of the things that I appreciate is the profound wisdom that comes out of his mouth. And he's a very humble brother. Okay. You and I, we need to have the mindset that we don't want to have anything to do with pride. The Bible says that if anyone is going to boast, let him boast in the Lord. Paul said about his own characteristics, listen, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I was the cream of the crop. I mean, if you want to talk about personal accolades, I've got a resume, but he said, I count all of those things as dung. I don't want to have anything to do with it. I just want the excellency of knowing Christ. You see, wisdom does not measure itself against other people. Wisdom causes us to evaluate ourselves in relationship to God. That's pretty good. Wisdom, true spiritual wisdom, does not cause us to compare ourselves against other people. Godly wisdom causes us to evaluate ourselves in relationship to God. And what he hates, we should hate. What he desires, we should desire. So pride and arrogance, and it says in the evil way. We'll touch on one more here thing, point in verse number 13. And the perverse mouth I hate. Okay, let me read that to you again, just in case you didn't get it. He said, the perverse mouth I hate. Wisdom that comes from God hates a perverse mouth. That word perverse means crooked. It's the word that if a person operates in perversity, we would call them a pervert. Now, we tend to think of pervert as something or someone that is dealing with sexuality in a manner that is less than forthright. This talks about a person whose mouth is less than forthright. Okay. Now, this is different than discretion. Discretion is saying, I am going to maintain wisdom and I am not going to disclose things. A perverse mouth operates with manipulation, with flattery. A perverse mouth uses all of the tools and schemes at its disposal to try and manipulate a person into compromising their spiritual values. Okay, you can see that with the serpent in the garden, where the conversation that he is having with Eve is not a conversation that is going to build her up spiritually, but is designed to devastate her spiritually. God says, I hate people who speak. Let me rephrase that. I hate a mouth that speaks in a deceptive manner that is going to cause people to think one thing and do another thing. I had a salesman that came to my door one time. This was before new technology came out. It was right as technology was beginning to change, and he came to my house to sell me a lifetime photo development plan. And now you got to understand. If I was not in ministry, math was my next strongest suit. And so I'm sitting there and I'm taking all of the information and I'm looking, I said, your numbers don't add up. It wasn't a very expensive plan, but you know, at that point in time, we didn't have a whole lot of money either. And I said, your numbers don't add up. And he said, oh yeah. And he went through the numbers all over again and the numbers still didn't add up. And so he went over it and he went over it and he went over it. And basically he was just trying to convolute the numbers. You see things like this a lot of times with, you know, work at home offers. My wife investigated some of those early in our marriage, and we found out, you know what, that's not, no, the numbers don't add up. Well, this salesman, he ended up being a customer of mine when I sold shoes. And I recognized him. I don't know if he recognized me or not. But I noticed that because of the way that he spoke to his customers, he did not trust anything that I said to him about the product that he was looking for. And I finally said, look, you know, I'm telling you the truth. I can still tell you the shoe that it was. It was one of our best selling shoes that we had. It was a great product for people that liked that particular type of shoe. They came in and bought it over and over and over again because it was very comfortable. And he just didn't believe anything. And I went to the stock room at one point in time, and I said, God, why isn't this guy believing me? And he said, well, it's because he's used to speaking doublespeak to his customers, and he assumes that you're doing the same thing to him, because for him it is all about getting a sale, all about getting a customer to sign on the bottom line and what little money that he can get from them. And he assumes that you're doing the same thing for him. And so I went out and I said, look, it's not going to make me a whole lot of difference one way or the other. If you buy this shoe, I'm going to be okay. If you don't buy this shoe, I'm going to be okay. And I still don't think that he bought it, but I know this. I want to speak in a forthright manner. When I preach, I'm not there to manipulate. I'm not there to distort or contort. I'm there to proclaim the full counsel of God. And we need to get to the place where evil is no longer something we tolerate in our lives. And I will tell you what, if we will purge the evil from our lives, the benefits of doing so are going to resound loudly throughout our community. I still think of the testimony of the missionary. It's one of the most profound things that I've ever read in my life. It was a plaque that was put up after he died, and it said, when he arrived, there were no Christians. When he died, there were no heathen. And I was like, wow. How in the world do you do that? And it comes from people who have such an awe of God that the wisdom that God bestows upon them causes them to hate evil, hate pride, hate arrogance, hate anything that is evil in any way, or anything that is perverse. A lot of people in society think that it's okay to tell crude jokes. We put all sorts of different adjectives, off-color jokes, colorful metaphors, innuendo. There's a lot of things that people do with their mouths. And God, you know what God is really looking for us to do? He's looking for us to allow him to tame our tongue so that our mouth can be used to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and not some perverted message that the world has to offer. So let's get on that falling in love with righteousness and abhorring evil. Let's look at a couple of attributes that wisdom has. Counsel is mine, it says in verse number 14. I don't know about you, but I from time to time need somebody to say, okay, this is what I would do in that situation. Because there's one thing that I've learned as a pastor, and that is that I don't know everything. And you would think that after a few decades of doing this, that I would pretty much have encountered every situation that you could encounter, and I've encountered a bunch, But there are situations that arise, and I say, man, just about the time that you think that you've experienced everything for the first time, you end up encountering something completely new. And I pick up the phone and I call my district superintendent and I say, brother, what do you have to say about this? I will tell you, my district superintendent is one of the highest authorities over my life. And there's not a resentment factor there with him. There's an appreciation factor there with him, because I realize that he is a gift from God to me and to the body of Christ. And he is there to impart counsel, because he just doesn't experience the situations that I face. There's like 350, 360 churches, and he's been doing ministry for over 50 years. And I can tell you what, he's got a doctorate. He's handled all sorts of legal situation, church situations, financial situations. And I say, you know what, God, I want to thank you that you have given me someone who can give sound biblical counsel. And it comes because he has a fear of God, and God has given him a spirit of wisdom. And he is not afraid to share that good counsel with us. I hope you've got somebody in your life who gives you good counsel. I'd like to be that person here on the radio and share sound biblical principles with you as well. If you don't have one, get one. You need one. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
See you.